Another special edition of the WWE podcast of the Multimedia Men. I am Brian Kluger with Boomstick Comics and High Def Digest, and I'm here with Tom Nix. You can follow him on Twitter at the Tom Nix currently. Say hi, Tom.
Tom Nix. The Tom Nix.
And we're also with Mike Hertel, all the way from Los Angeles, or no, not Los Angeles, it is Orange County. He's from the OC.
Thank you.
Mike Hertel, wrestling writer for Boomstick Comics. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Good to have y'all. We haven't had a wrestling podcast in a while. So much has happened since our last wrestling podcast. I want to first ask Tom, who's in McAllen, Texas, which is supposedly like pretty much on the Mexican-Texas border. Have you gone to Tijuana yet?
No, I only import my donkey shows.
Okay, you only import your donkey shows. Okay, but I wanted to ask you, you recently went to a SmackDown taping. What was that like? Did you have fun? Was it a good time?
I went to a live Raw.
Oh, you went to a live Raw, that's right.
It was a fun time. The wrestling on that show, there was quite a lot of it, which is sometimes a rarity for Raws. I'm sure we'll talk about all of the storyline stuff that happens. I did get to see the return of Chris Jericho live, which I super marked out about, and then immediately had my mark out boner destroyed when he started talking. As much as myself and probably Mike and probably you are really going to rag on WWE during this podcast, I will certainly say that their shows are almost always a fun time to go to. They're enjoyable. The wrestlers are putting on generally good matches if they're given the time to, and there's almost always at least one, if not two, maybe three matches that are given a good 15, 20 minutes to play out. So, yeah, I mean, I absolutely had a good time, regardless of how much of the Roman Reigns show this company has been in the last couple months.
All right. Awesome. I'm glad you had a good time, despite whatever. Before we go into, like, Royal Rumble 2016 and previous storylines leading up to that, I just want to do a quick, like, promo type of thing for the WWE Network, which you can get on pretty much any mobile device or Apple TV or whatever for $9.99 a month. You know, most people who have it now or who are thinking about getting it, most people will go and watch the pay-per-views, of course, because it's pretty cheap, rather than paying $55.99 per month for a pay-per-view. They tend to go to the WCW, ECW, and WWE content. However, over the past week or two, I realized that they had all their vault is insanely extensive, and I've been watching the old 1980s WCCW, the World Class Championship Wrestling from Dallas, Texas, at the Sportatorium matches with all the Von Erichs, with Kamala, Chavo Guerrero Sr., Rick Rude. Oh man, these things are so good, and I just hope that people who have the nostalgia for that will look those up as well, because they're really fun to watch. Have you ever watched any of those on anything from the vault from the network?
Yeah, I'm big on well, so I have been rewatching. This isn't as deep into the vault as I think you're suggesting, but I've been rewatching the entire 1998 WWE programming slate. So, like, I started with the first Raw of January 1998, and then, you know, each month I watched the corresponding pay-per-view, and my goodness, it was so good, but it was also just deplorable. Like, everything that was going on that television show was awful, and there was a recent episode where Vince McMahon gets kidnapped by Stone Cold Steve Austin, duct taped, tied to a chair. Austin has a crossbow that he's like using to threaten him with the entire episode. It's like, so that's going on the whole time. And then interspersed with that is like Tiger Ali Singh is making some lady deep throat a kielbasa for $500. And then she does it, and the Godfather comes out and says that transaction's void because she's his hoe, and Tiger Ali Singh doesn't have the right to him. And then they get into a fight over this kielbasa deep throater, and the episode ends, and like, it's insane. Every segment is insane, and the episode ends with Stone Cold Steve Austin shooting Vince McMahon in the head in the middle of the ring. Turns out to be a toy gun. Everyone laughs, and Vince McMahon urinates himself on live television.
Can you imagine, like, Rusev doing the kielbasa thing to Lana nowadays?
It would be, like, I'm glad the era is over, but I just can't. It's a fundamentally different show. It's just chaos. It's 2 hours of chaos.
Absolutely.
And I do kind of miss being entertained for the entirety of an episode of Raw, but that is unsustainable.
There is something to be said about not knowing what to expect in a wrestling show and having basically just the let's see what sticks to the wall approach. But when the only thing you're throwing at the wall is like M&Ms wrapped in Twizzlers with Fritos stacked around them, you know, everything is nuts. So there is a glory to that that is not available today when everything is a little too, you know, recappy and scripted. But again, you know, like you said, different era, different time. And a lot of the Attitude Era stuff, even though we like to remember it fondly, was not great and is pretty terrible. Really.
Well, when you go back, that's totally true. Yeah, when you go back and watch some of those episodes from the Attitude Era, it's really kind of cringeworthy, and you go like, wow, they really did this on live TV. And you cannot even think of them doing that today with the audience they have, you know, with, you know, the bra and panties match, treating the women, you know, or degrading them more or less. And, you know, it was crazy to watch all those old episodes or pay-per-views, and even the ECW stuff, which was even more hardcore than what WWE showed. For you fans of the wrestling, there's more than just the ECW, WCW, and WWE. Go and check the vault. There's tons of great stuff with it. But
I think they recently added like Smoky Mountain Wrestling and all that stuff too, didn't they? Like,
yes.
I think they had Stampede up for a little bit, but then took most of it down because they didn't actually have the rights to it.
Right.
But yeah, there's a whole bunch of territory stuff that's up there nowadays. You can go and watch Lance Storm and Chris Jericho's first match if you want to.
Which is awesome. I love Lance Storm. I miss that guy. But moving on to our main topic of discussion, we're talking about the Royal Rumble 2016 for you. New wrestling fans, the Royal Rumble happens every year. It is the precursor to WrestleMania, which will be held in Dallas, Texas this year at AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play. They expect a record crowd, maybe 105 to 110,000 people maybe. The Royal Rumble match is basically 30 people in the ring. Each wrestler comes out 90 seconds after the other in the... The goal is to throw them over the top rope. That's how you eliminate until one man is left alive. So, if you Google Royal Rumble 2016, you'll more than likely see posters of the Royal Rumble with John Cena on it. Which I'm surprised they have not changed all of them yet, because John Cena is, well, injured for the most part, right?
Yeah, that was a very, very shocking development. I mean, I'm sure no one saw that coming, but really imagining a WrestleMania season without John Cena is hard to comprehend.
Well, so John Cena, if you haven't been following along wrestling, John Cena took a sabbatical for a couple months to promote movies and do a TV show, and he lost his title in an unceremoniously fashion to Alberto Del Rio, interestingly enough. His U.S. title, and then he was supposed to come back, and he came back, and then he's injured, and he had shoulder or neck surgery or something. But that seems to be the case over the last, you know, few months since our last podcast, that some of the main big people in wrestling are injured. We have Seth Rollins out due to a really bad injury. We have John Cena out. We have Daniel Bryan still out.
We have Randy Orton out.
We have Randy Orton out. Absolutely.
Cesaro is still out.
So those are pretty big names. So I would like to ask Mike first. How do you think WWE is handling the current injury list, and how do you think they'll proceed with it to WrestleMania and through Royal Rumble?
Well, I think it's been pretty rough. I mean, I think you look at, if you were to have this podcast 6 months ago and we would talk about what our WrestleMania card would be, Seth Rollins, John Cena, Randy Orton, Cesaro easily would be in key matches in any card that we'd want to see. And now all four of those guys are out. I think that WWE has done a decent job of putting together the foundation for what could be a good WrestleMania, but I think it all hinges on the Royal Rumble. I think that if we come out of the Royal Rumble and the only three interesting people on the show are Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Triple H, then WWE's in a pretty rough spot going into WrestleMania, because it's going to be really tough to fill out the rest of the card. But if they can figure out a way to obviously, you know, integrate all the New Japan acquisitions that we're hearing about, or at least, you know, one or two of those guys, if they can figure out a way to get the New Day into an actual storyline, if they can figure out a way to somehow splinter off, you know, somehow get three matches out of Reigns and Triple H, which I think we probably all agree is going to be on the WrestleMania card nearer at the top, Brock Lesnar, and the WWE title. If you can somehow keep those three things separate heading into WrestleMania, I think that's the ideal scenario, because then you've got three elite matches. I don't necessarily think they're going to do that, unfortunately, but I think that's the way they could actually turn this into the kind of WrestleMania where people look back and say, oh, wow, you know, that was really the first great WrestleMania for such and such guy that I think is awesome.
Well, so I'm gonna ask Tom this. You know, I feel like this is – there's a lot riding on WWE as a company with this upcoming WrestleMania because it is the biggest they'll ever have, at least up till today. Tom, what do you think? What do you – I mean, with the recent news of, you know, Vince McMahon saying that Roman Reigns is the number one entrant into the Royal Rumble – where do you think WWE is trying to go with the Royal Rumble into WrestleMania with all of these injuries in place?
Well, see, I think all of their injuries has made Vince McMahon double down on Roman Reigns as being the only person who can save what's left of their roster.
So like John Cena 2.0?
What's that? I didn't hear you.
So Roman Reigns is like John Cena 2.0?
Well, I mean, that's certainly how they're booking him to a certain extent, but I have to agree with what Mike said. WrestleMania, as much as they like to say that WrestleMania sells itself, and certainly we all three bought our tickets, or I bought our my tickets. I know you're going. I'm not sure if Mike is going. I think he is. I don't know.
Yep.
All three of us bought our tickets without knowing a single match on the card, so that does say something. But again, this is a 110,000 seat venue, and right now all of the marquee names of people that are truly and honestly over are gone. Roman Reigns is rising in popularity. He is certainly not booed or hated as much as he was 1 year ago, but he's not a 110,000 seat filler. And my concern, and I think we're going to see a lot of this answered post Royal Rumble, is that instead of building up Kevin Owens and building up Bray Wyatt and building up Dean Ambrose and building up Dolph Ziggler, they're just going to turn to The Rock and maybe Goldberg and maybe some of them. I'm sure Stone Cold Steve Austin will show up. I do not think he will wrestle. But I just feel like they're going to really fill this event with Texas legends, and I'm positive that they are throwing as much money as they can at Shawn Michaels, trying to get him to have one last match in Texas at WrestleMania, and that the event we're going to see is going to be even more heavily dependent on very famous part-timers slash legends than it will be the people they currently have on the roster, because, you know, they're basically 3 months out from their biggest event of the year, and every single person they have that is a legitimate draw is unavailable. So, like I said, we'll see. But I got to echo Mike and say I think Roman Reigns and Triple H is the right match. I don't think it's the right match for the title. But I do think that is a match people want to see and would happily watch near the top of the card. But they've got to do something really interesting with Brock Lesnar, because he really hasn't done a whole lot post losing the title. He's had good matches with The Undertaker, but his character's lost a little bit of luster. So they really need to do something awesome with him, and I don't know who they can put the belt on right now besides Roman Reigns, because every single person on the show has been booked and presented in an inferior light next to Roman. I mean, just the sheer fact this entire Rumble, for the first time really ever, is being built up totally around a single superstar, and how he can defeat all other people and will defeat all other people.
Which is crazy to me that they're doing that. I mean, I don't remember a Royal Rumble where the title was on the line. Vince McMahon.
So I just want to congratulate Tom for fulfilling WWE's mandate and not mentioning Chris Benoit. So they did this. This is pretty similar to the 2004 Rumble, where they had Benoit enter at number one, and a number of people kind of took shots at him throughout. And so I do appreciate that we're just going to ignore it. I'm all for erasing Chris Benoit from history, but
I do remember that happening, and I'm pretty sure there was a 90s one where it was very much about Stone Cold and the whole Vince and Stone Cold feud.
Yes.
And there have been rumbles where the A story is, you know, this wrestler has to go through the ringer to win. But even if you remember the 2004 Rumble, the announcers weren't talking about Chris Benoit the whole time, and they certainly right. weren't talking about Chris Benoit the entire time during the match. That was just a shitty thing that the manager or the GM at the time did to him, because they had, I forget who he lost to, but I remember the stipulation being that if he lost, he would never be granted another shot at the belt, and his only recourse was win the Royal Rumble, which guarantees him a shot, that they yes. can't, so they can't do that. That was a storyline that made sense, and he truly was an underdog face. You're talking about a champion who has never been pinned uncleanly, rarely loses, has fought four people at a time. In one of those recent Raws, his match was against the entire heel roster, even though it was really just Kevin Owens and then a big group fight. But the whole thing has been built up about you can fight everybody and you always win no matter what the odds we stack up against you. So now we're going to give you 29 other people, and it's for the belt. It's not just for a title shot at WrestleMania like it always is. It's whoever wins this match gets your belt, which is just an extra layer of the only important person on this show is Roman Reigns, which is, in my estimation, that's not the right way to book anybody, even if it was Daniel Bryan or whoever, you know, smarts like us like. If one person is the focal point of the entire show, it makes everyone else look stupid, and it's really hard to build. And it's really hard to fill a good card when you're basically told that everyone else should be looking up to and trying to beat this one guy.
Which is crazy. And so going to the Royal Rumble and the entrance, we know quite a few of the entrants already, but in one of them is going to be Brock Lesnar. Do you think there's a possibility that Brock Lesnar could be number 30?
No.
You don't think they'll do – you don't think Vince will do that to – or – Vince,
so,
Stephanie.
Let me tell you one of my two Vince Russo swerve concepts for the Rumble. They both end the same way, but they're two different ways to do it. This is really what I think is going to happen. Number one is Roman Reigns enters at number one, and whatever happens, happens, and he throws out the 30th person. I don't know who that could be. Maybe they'll make it AJ Styles. Maybe they'll make it whoever, Dolph Ziggler again. Same way it was last year. Roman Reigns throws out the last guy, and the announcers put over how he survived for an hour and 10 minutes, breaking Rey Mysterio's record and having the most record number of eliminations. And then as he's celebrating, number 31 pops up on the screen. And that's never happened before. What could possibly happen now? And that's when Triple H's music hits. And he comes out and throws Roman Reigns out for the title and makes a title match. The other thing I can see happening is if this is ridiculous, I don't think it'll actually happen, but I think it would be neat if Vince did something this silly, is Triple H does come out at number 30 and loses to Roman Reigns, then number 31 hits, and Triple H's music plays again, and Triple H just gets back in the ring, and this again until Triple H wins the match.
Wow. I mean, that would be hilarious. I don't think that's going to happen. Mike, what do you think?
I think that Triple H will eliminate Roman Reigns, by hook or crook, right? I think that one is like the most likely thing to happen. I just can't picture Triple H winning the Royal Rumble and setting up a match with Reigns for the title at WrestleMania.
I just don't think that makes sense.
So then that's the next question, right?
Is there a single person on the roster that you think could carry that championship, knowing that Roman will effectively be unable to challenge for a rematch unless they make the rematch at WrestleMania, in which case it'd be like, if Brock wins, it's Brock Roman 2, which is not the worst idea, because the first match at WrestleMania 31 was obviously much better than anyone's expectations. But is that really your marquee match to sell out?
No. So here's what I'm thinking is that Triple H gets Roman Reigns out of the Royal Rumble, hook or crook, whatever. I think that you've then got – I think Roman then gets a title shot against the winner of the Royal Rumble at Fastlane that he also gets screwed out of by Triple H, and then they have their match at WrestleMania.
Sure.
So that's how I think you get there. But then the question that's still open is who wins the title? And I think the only legitimate guy, based on what we're supposed to be, what we've seen over the past few months, is Brock. I do think that, like, plan C, D. I think we're probably into like the double A, double B plan at this point. I think that plan is, hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin, hey, The Rock, can you come in and win the Royal Rumble on Sunday? And I'm not kidding. I think that that's one, that is one thing that I could see happening is, Austin or The Rock comes in and wins the Rumble. The one thing that I absolutely guarantee will not happen is Daniel Bryan will not win the Royal Rumble.
No, Daniel Bryan will not win, but it's a possibility that he could be in it, but he won't win.
I think I would actually say that if it's – there's no way he's in the Royal Rumble this year and gets eliminated. Like, the dissatisfaction of the crowd. Like, here's what I think. Here's why I think Triple H will be number 30. Is because I think Daniel Bryan isn't in the Rumble. I think there's a sustained Daniel Bryan chant for the 90 seconds before number 30 comes out. And then at that point, you want number 30 to be the most villainous person possible. And that's where Triple H comes.
And you know what? That's a good point, because Triple H, Stephanie, and Vince have been trying to screw Roman Reigns forever, and that would only make sense.
Yeah.
I do think they have a problem on their hands, though, because Triple H has been entirely absent from the build-up to the Royal Rumble, I guess selling his injury back from Survivor Series or whatever it was. And it's always dangerous to bring back someone after a prolonged absence and expect people to boo them. And I'm concerned that if Triple H is their ace in this, ace in the hole, and this is, this is how we're going to get, people behind Roman Reigns, is the dastardly Triple H will screw him out of the Royal Rumble win. If they're smart, and the last two Rumbles have shown they are not, I do think Triple H eliminating Roman is the right call, but they have to get that out of the way midway through the match so that Roman is not in the final four, and maybe Triple H isn't either. Maybe Roman Reigns comes back in and beats the living hell out of him again, and they just fight to the back, and Triple H never really technically gets eliminated, but really it doesn't matter because he's not really a full-time wrestler. And then the rest of the match is, who's champion now? Because if they wait to the end of the match and they bring back a returning wrestler, even though he's, not really injured, I just feel as though, and you also, they're in Orlando, and Triple H is NXT's Messiah in Orlando. And I really wonder if it's not going to backfire on them again, having a returning Triple H throwing Roman Reigns out to cheers instead of boos.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always a risk with – it's always a risk with Reigns. It's the same problem that Cena has that some people just go and decide, you know, they don't like him, and so they're gonna cheer whoever his opponent is. So I think, yeah, that's always a risk. And I think that I think that there's something to be said. I think a more likely scenario, I guess, than Triple H being number 30 would be him kind of pulling what Kane pulled on CM Punk a couple of years ago, where, like, whether he's in the match for any period or not, he just comes out and eliminates Roman Reigns. I could see, you know, I could see that happening, where that way you don't have the problem of he gets, you know, the music hits and everybody's excited that there's a surprise entrant, and then, you know, and then he eliminates your fan favorite or supposed fan favorite, and now you're kind of screwed. So, I can see that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to go off on a slight tangent, so I'll let you finish what you're going to say.
Okay. So I do think that I think this is the only way to get the title off of Roman Reigns between now and after WrestleMania. And so I think this is a perfect way for them to get the title off of Reigns without having him look, you know, without having him get beat, which is their, you know, one of their primary concerns. So I think that leaves an opening for, you know, obviously they kind of threw the red herring this week of Bray Wyatt, but I think it leaves an opening for, you know, I guess Sheamus, even though he's kind of garbage.
Well,
Jericho, you know, Jericho, if they could have him, like, I don't know. I mean,
well, Mike,
I don't know who he faces, but yeah, go ahead.
The SmackDown results that will be on tomorrow ended the same way Raw did, with the Wyatt family attacking everybody. With that knowledge, with Raw and SmackDown ending the same way with the Wyatt family destroying everybody, do you think that is any precursor to Royal Rumble of what will happen?
I mean, that'd be pretty sad if they just woke up Monday morning and were like, hey, let's put the title on Bray. And then they're like, hey, wait a minute. We just had Bray get his ass kicked by the Social Outcasts, or, you know, whichever nonsense. Like, you know, he was in, like, a blood feud with Tommy Dreamer a week ago. And it's like, maybe we can't have our champion involved in this nonsense. Let's have him destroy the entire roster over a two-day period.
But this is the story of Bray Wyatt, and this is why I talked to Brian a little before we started recording, and he's very excited that, like, the Wyatt family kicked the crap out of Brock and kicked the crap out of Roman and is kicking the crap out of everybody on SmackDown. But this is the story of Bray Wyatt. He's built up to be a monster, an unstoppable machine of supernatural ability, and then he is squashed by every opponent in an important match. Like, think back to when he kidnapped The Undertaker and kidnapped Kane and stole their powers. And he
was
the most overpowered dungeon master of all time. And then he lost in 10 minutes to a bunch of 57-year-olds.
Like, yeah, that one stung. You
know, same thing with Cena. Like, he kicked the crap out of Cena for a long time and then just lost all three matches. Technically, he won the cage match, but not without, like, King shenaniganizing. So it's never... When it matters, they don't pull the trigger on him, and I can't say it's now or never, because he's a obviously extremely charismatic, extremely talented performer, and that they can keep drawing on the well, but at some point they gotta say, you can't be the world's most overpowered enhancement talent, we have to do something with you, and I don't see them making that decision at the Royal Rumble. I would be shocked and happy if they did, But like I said, this is how his story goes. He gets built up as an unstoppable monster, and then is stopped 5 minutes into his run.
So we can all agree that Triple H will be part of the Rumble, right?
He'll be involved. I don't know if he'll be one of the 30, but he'll be in. We'll see him on Sunday.
Okay, and with each of you, let's all go down. All right, let's. There's always surprise entrance to the Royal Rumble, past, present, future.
Real fast, Brian, before we go down this road,
okay.
I want to address the whole one versus all thing again real fast.
Okay.
I really want to dig into this whole presentation. The whole idea is that the Authority and Vince McMahon hate Roman Reigns so much that they want to make his life as miserable as possible and put him through all of these tests that – you know, in their minds, there's no way he can overcome. One of the weird things that I don't understand, or one of the things that I feel like would make WrestleMania substantially more interesting, and it's just very small adjustment to what they're already doing. If they're going to make this match for the title, fine, great. Whoever wins the Rumble gets to be the champion. But if they hate Roman Reigns so much, wouldn't it have been an excellent touch and a good kind of like tee up for WrestleMania? That if whoever won the Rumble gets to be champion, but whoever eliminated Roman Reigns gets a guaranteed title shot, meaning that every single person in that match, no matter who they are, is gunning for the guy they hate. And if that happens, you now have an extra slot at WrestleMania. It won't be for the title, but it'll be someone who is instantly elevated because they have an opportunity that they never had before.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
No, I totally agree. I mean, it's weird that Roman Reigns has a title right now. It's strange that they're using the Royal Rumble for a title match for the World Heavyweight Championship. And that means that if Roman does lose this, somebody becomes champion until WrestleMania, technically, and that will leave two open spots. It's strange how they're doing that, which, I mean, Roman Reigns can very well lose, but even if he does lose, I feel like the championship has changed hands so many times in the last couple months, and that's more or less unheard of, right?
Yeah, well, and he's really in his first reign, really, because his very first reign lasted 5 minutes, 15 seconds, and really was just, you know, non-existent. So this is his first reign. Really, he's only defended it against one guy and rarely in clean finishes. And like I said, the crowd is with him for now. But I wonder if let's just say that Roman Reigns enters at number one. And not only does he break Rey Mysterio's record of length in a Rumble, which I feel like will happen simply because Rey Mysterio is no longer under contract. And the one thing they love to do is to erase people who aren't working for them anymore. And what if that happens? And what if Roman Reigns eliminates 29 people?
Well, he won't eliminate 29 people. He won't do it all.
How do you know?
I can't see Roman Reigns eliminated everybody. I feel like that, you know, other people will eliminate everybody or other people because there'll probably be at least 10 to 15 people in the ring at once, not all fighting him.
I don't actually think it's a true, honest-to-God possibility, but it's because everything is built around his performance and everything is built around how he's in this match, he can break two records. Because, first of all, Roman Reigns already holds the record for most eliminations, which is crazy that he did that in his first year in the business. They already gave that to him. It's very likely that he'll do it again, and he'll last the longest. Do you think there is that this whole Roman Reigns is the center of the universe booking will eventually turn people against him in a match like this specifically because it is so long and it has so many variables and he just keeps winning, 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 winning all the time? Do you think by the time this is over, it won't be 2015 bad? I truly believe it won't be that bad. But do you think the crowd will kind of not care about him as much when he's basically able to do all of these things when the odds are truly stacked against him, but it doesn't matter. Do you think that'll turn the crowd away from him even more?
It depends on how they do it. If all the Wyatts are in the ring with him only, and he gets to eliminate most of them or all of them, the crowd will be with him. Other than that, I really don't see a scenario where, I mean, people will be tired of like, okay, he got, you know, hulked up and he did a Superman punch and gored somebody again.
Yeah, like if he eliminates in succession, you know, Dolph Ziggler, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Kofi Kingston, you know, all these guys that the, like, pay-per-view crowds typically like, well, except for Hacksaw, but, you know, if he's eliminating guys that are otherwise fan favorites, then, yeah, I think the crowd's going to sour on him as, you know, Superman pretty quick. But I think that he'll, you know, I think that this will actually be it's a good opportunity for WWE to give him a chance, much like his match with Lesnar at WrestleMania, where it, you know, going into it, it was like, oh, he's being kind of gifted this main event, and he doesn't necessarily deserve it the way other guys do, and, you know, and then he goes in and has this, you know, basically just gets beaten to hell by Brock Lesnar. Yeah. And it sort of earned the crowd's respect over the course of the match. I think he could do that this Sunday, and I actually think he will. I think Roman Reigns is really good. And so when it comes down to it, assuming they don't book him into a scenario where he is just like chucking out fan favorites left and right, and he's in the ring alone for half the match because nobody can hang with him, then I think that this is going to be a good night for him, because I think he's going to lose the title, but in noble fashion.
And I do want to say, Roman Reigns has gotten so much better in the ring as a performer in a year than a lot of other people can claim to getting that much better that much faster. The biggest thing that keeps me from being a Roman Reigns fan is that he is a charisma suck, and his character doesn't exist. Like, if I isolate his character and just say, okay, I watched Cesaro versus Roman Reigns from the Raw before Survivor Series, that's a good match by two good performers that are putting on a good story. But then you have him talk, or you have him be, like I said, this weird focal point of the company, when, like, his character is undefined. He's Shield guy still, 2 years after the breakup. He doesn't have a defined personality, and when you give him the microphone, it just sounds like he's been given fortune cookies to read, and he just reads the fortune cookies out loud. It's hard to see someone with such a setback in the charisma department, and maybe it's not entirely his fault. I'm sure a lot of it is a bad script, and if they just let him be a little more, you know, improv-y and off the cuff, he'd probably come across a lot better. But he has nothing to latch onto besides he is handsome and strong, which is not something that will get wrestling fans rallied behind you as a superstar. You know, it's basically like if they pushed John Cena to the top of the company when he was still wearing tiny green shorts and had no personality.
Right.
Yeah, well, and here's my problem with the way they portray Roman Reigns is that, you know, when he was in the Shield, he was awesome. You know, like, I think that everybody liked the three guys in the Shield for their own individual characters that they had. And Roman Reigns' character was, he says very little, he is pretty much unfazable, and he kicks a lot of ass.
And also, he throws Rey Mysterio out by the ass down the bottom of the ring, outside of it.
Yes, that was great.
He was awesome because he was the enforcer. Like you said, he was the, I don't need to talk, I just hit you a bunch, and then I don't need to talk.
Yes.
But that works in a group dynamic when you have a talker and you also have a high flyer. When you isolate that on its own, it doesn't necessarily work unless you're a one-in-a-million talent like Goldberg, you know, who, even though he wasn't a great wrestler, he had the aura around him that everyone didn't care that he wasn't that great because he was just beating ass. But then you take – I think this is where you're going, Mike – when he was the silent enforcer badass, once they split him off on his own, they didn't change his gear, they didn't change his music, they didn't change his entrance. Everything about him was the Shield guy, but now he's smirking and smiling and not taking anything seriously. But also,
exactly.
You know, but also, guys, he's a badass who can't be beat, but he just is here to have fun. It's just a very weird combination of Stone Cold and John Cena, like 2005 post-John Cena, that doesn't make sense in this character's trajectory. Because, like, when he was the last person standing in 2014, it was down to him and Batista, the whole audience wanted him to win the Rumble. And
right.
He did win the Rumble, and everyone fucking hated him because his character was totally different.
Well, I think WWE is, you know, they've been trying for the better part of a year to find or to get the audience to win him over. And I don't think it really happened until Vince McMahon came out and they started to cheer him on. However, you're in a position of, okay, we need the audience to keep cheering him on. We need Vince and the authority to really just screw him over consistently. And he's the underdog to come up. And I think that's how and or why people are still cheering him, but I don't think that'll last forever, like y'all said. And it's just a weird predicament to put somebody, because, I mean, Reigns, to me, when he's on the mic, sounds like Matthew McConaughey from Days of Confused most of the time. You know, he's just happy-go-lucky, and then he turns it on when he screams. It's just kind of silly to me. But, yeah, he doesn't have a gimmick right now other than that he's Roman Reigns and everybody, you know, shits on him. But he comes through in the end.
The best thing they could have done at any point is have him come out and cut a very brief promo that says, I've been trying to win the championship, and I'm not winning the championship, and it's because I'm hanging on to the past, and I'm still being a person that I was 2 years ago. It's time to embrace Roman Reigns and take off his vest and walk out to the back. And next week, come down the ramp with new music, new gear, and say, this is the new Roman Reigns, and I'm here to beat the shit out of everybody until I win this title.
Yeah, no, I would like that. I don't think that's going to happen just yet, though. I wish it would. But let's talk about surprise entrance. Let's talk about it. Now, starting with Mike. Give me your five surprise entrants you think will make it into the Royal Rumble.
Okay, so I wasn't kidding about Hacksaw, so there's one. I think we'll see – let's see. Baron Corbin. Stone Cold Steve Austin, I think it's going to be in there. I think it's absurd. It makes no sense. I think he's going to be in there.
Okay. That's three.
And that's three. And then it'll be. Let's see. I already blew an NXT guy.
That sounded funny.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of handsome gentlemen in NXT. Throw me, how about AJ Styles and I only got four.
All right, four. Tom, what do you think? Five surprise entrants.
Savio Vega.
Nice.
I honestly don't think there's going to be a ton of surprise entrants. I do think there is a very solid chance, I'm contradicting myself. I would say there's a very solid chance that The Rock shows up, but I think if The Rock shows up, that eliminates everything they have going for Roman. So I would just say The Rock is not showing up. But I'll stick with AJ Styles. I think Baron Corbin is an excellent pick because I don't see him progressing much farther in NXT. And he's already gotten substantially better than he was. And he's big enough and he's got kind of the weird vacant charisma they need in like a kind of a monster powerhouse bad guy. I think that's an excellent pick, Mike. I would not be surprised to see Baron Corbin because, like, as much as the Bullet Club is probably coming, they're not going anywhere until Finn goes somewhere, and Finn is staunchly opposed to going to the main roster. So it's going to be a while before we see Machine Gun, Gallows, and possibly even AJ Styles. I don't think the Rumble is the right place to debut a new star when you have built up the entire event around one of your existing stars. I don't think we're going to see anyone who is going to be a immediate main roster favorite like AJ Styles would be. I think Baron Corbin is accurate. I do think it's a possibility we'll get Kurt Angle, even if he gets eliminated and then he's done. Like, he might not come back again. Or maybe if he does, he'll come back next year. But like I said, I'm trying to think of our legacy acts that might make an appearance. I think we might see The Undertaker. And I think The Undertaker will, whoever eliminates him, will let us know who his feud for WrestleMania will be. Even if it's Kane, maybe, who knows. But I think The Undertaker will come back, so let's say, I got Undertaker, I got Baron Corbin, I've got Savio Vega, I've got, let's see, that's only two more. You know what would actually be a good returning person is I would like to see Christian come back, even if it's just for a comedy spot. And fifth person.
It's difficult.
It is difficult, and I'm wondering if maybe they would bring a diva like Beth Phoenix back for a night just to be in the Rumble as a female, because they do have the whole Divas Revolution thing going on, and even though obviously it's not going to get anywhere close to the finale, I don't see them bringing up Nia Jax so soon. She's the greenest green. So I wonder if maybe they'll bring back, maybe even a Trish Stratus or Alita would be interesting to see what would happen with that.
That would be cool. I think, what I think for surprise entrances, and these are just out of the blue, I do think possibility is Kurt Angle. I do think the possibility is maybe Jeff Hardy. I do think...
I'll accept Jeff Hardy if it's actually CM Punk and Jeff Hardy makeup.
You know what? They might play CM Punk's music and then Triple H might come out and that will make him even more heel. You could technically maybe see Shawn Michaels come in and, show us what he's got again for WrestleMania.
That would be a really good... I don't know if they can get him off that damn ranch. I don't think there's a dollar amount they can offer him that would get him back in the ring. I really don't think that's true.
And I really think WWE is going to try to push Finn Balor all the way this year, and I could see Finn Balor getting into the Royal Rumble.
I think they're going to want to pull the trigger on him, but there's no way they're bringing Machine Gun Anderson and Luke Gallows back to do anything other than be Finn Balor's guys. And they don't start till February. I don't think we're going to see Finn Balor in the Rumble, but I do think they're going to start his push to the main roster. Although, slightly segueing, I'm very, very, very not sure, but I'm very interested to see what happens at NXT TakeOver Dallas. Because I think that now the Bullet Club is coming in, I think this is going to start pulling the trigger on Finn Balor's heel turn.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very good chance that we're going to see Hideo Itami versus Finn Balor with the reveal that Finn was the person that took him out of the match. a year ago because he knew he could beat Tyler Breeze, but didn't know if he could beat Hideo. So he took the you know, uncertainty out of the equation.
Yeah.
And now you've got a overpowered demon bad guy who beats everybody, but also has lackeys backing him up that will, you know, kind of like Team Angle, where Kurt Angle is a freaking amazing wrestler who can beat anybody, but he's kind of a coward.
And so
If they do that archetype with Finn Balor and make him this overpowered badass who hides behind his goofy buddies, and then send, like, fighting spirit Japanese Hideo Itami after him, that place is going to freaking explode on April 1st, especially if / when we get our very first nationally televised GTS.
That would be awesome. And I guess my last surprise entrant would be Mick Foley. I know.
I don't think we're seeing Mick Foley, given that he basically said on a WWE DVD that his brain is too messed up to wrestle again.
He might go come out in the Rumble.
He'll do one.
He'll do one, and then he'll get eliminated. But yeah, that might be a surprise entrance.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a ton of surprise entrants unless they're just kind of comedy spots, or I think Taker, Triple H are going to be the big returns, even though both of them have been on TV relatively recently. Because like I said, like if they pull some kind of big debut or big anything else, they're really doing that talent a disservice by throwing him headfirst into the Roman Reigns show. And they're also running the risk of making people turn on Roman Reigns because they want to see this new guy succeed and he's going to lose.
So do you think Dean Ambrose will be in the Rumble? Do you think there will be a head-to-head between?
So I had assumed all along that Ambrose and Owens would be in the Rumble. If they are, then never have a last man standing match again. Like, if this comes down to, like, if one of these guys cannot get up after a count of 10 and is essentially incapacitated by the other and then rolls into the Royal Rumble, I'm going to be kind of upset. Like, that's a ridiculous stipulation if you're planning on having one or both of those guys enter the Royal Rumble, unless Kevin Owens like gets in the ring and just lays down for a count of 10 and is like, screw the Intercontinental title, I'm going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, depending on what kind of stuff they fill it with, that could happen. But I mean, but again, you're also talking about a company whose booking does not revolve around psychology or things making sense. Because you're right. Like, if you want to sell a last man standing match, both of those guys should be out for... I mean, they should barely be functional on Monday. You know,
right.
You shouldn't be, you know, competing in a Royal Rumble match and doing anything other than getting tossed out immediately because they hurt so much. But again, if they need the bodies, because to our earlier point, cycle around, with all the injuries, how do you not put Dean Ambrose and KO in the Rumble when they are realistically two of your biggest stars?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. I feel like they've kind of backed themselves into a corner on this one because it just doesn't make any sense to have either of those guys in the match itself. All right, so... if this is, last topic here, you can't pick Brock, you can't pick Roman Reigns, and you can't pick Triple H. Who are you picking to win the Royal Rumble?
Other than Shane McMahon?
You went like almost an hour before mentioning Shane McMahon. That's pretty good.
That's my record.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, my brain tells me that it will be either a Wyatt or a League of Nations person, like Sheamus, but my heart will probably... Oh, man. Gosh. That's so difficult to say. Man, it would be awesome if Kalisto won, but or the new or like Xavier Woods won, but yeah, I just don't see like the storyline there.
I feel like if we can't pick those three guys who I think are the, you know, numbers 1, 2, and 3 to win this thing by a stretch, if you really want to bring intrigue to the world title situation, I really think the guy who needs to take it is Big E Langston.
Man, be badass.
That's a great pick.
Because, I mean, you've got a super overstable who you could turn face or remain heel, depending on what you wanted to do, because they're kind of straddling the line as it is. He's obviously a monster that can beat the crap out of people. And you've got the Wyatts to throw against him. You've got the League of Nations to throw against him. I bet he would have a good match with Roman. If you have to pick a dark horse candidate that isn't one of the three big names, I would put the title on Big E and see how he handles himself for a couple months.
I like that pick. I mean, I guess I would go with maybe Jericho, just because he feels like he's back for a while now. And he could definitely do it.
Yeah.
He could do it, but face Jericho is the worst character in history, and I don't think Nick with that.
But you know what? He's faced Jericho now. However, he is so quick to turn heel on anything and anybody that he could totally do it.
I mean, if he does become champion, he'd have to go heel because, I mean, it's his best side. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's certainly a possibility, and it's definitely within their reach because he is at this point a legacy act, and that is what they really like. So I don't know. I mean, I obviously it's a moot point because either Roman or Triple H is winning this thing. But if for some reason that doesn't happen, there's a good. I mean, there are tons of people that would make a lot of sense as champion, but like I said, that's kind of where it goes back is they really missed the opportunity of awarding a title shot to anyone who eliminates Roman because you automatically boost someone up a little bit, which gives you the leeway post WrestleMania. Because like I said, right now, the only person who's on Roman's level is Brock Lesnar, and he's a part-time marquee match guy. He's not around all that often. So you got to either put it on Roman or you got to put it on somebody who has a little bit more to prove and let Roman and Triple H have their grudge match, which I think will be an excellent match. But I just can't see them resisting. I just can't see them resisting putting the title on H just to have their grudge match also be for a prize, and then you've got a bunch of other nonsense that's not going to sell out the biggest stadium in the country.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
The more I think about it, I think give me Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
But that goes against what you said if he does his match and he's up again and he wins.
Yeah, I think we're just going to find a way out of that one. he's gonna take a walk or whatever he needs to do, and then I think they believe in him, and I think that he could have a credible title feud going into WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean he's the thing with Kevin Owens is that it's. He understands psychology better than people that have been around WWE for a long time, and he is exactly the kind of performer who would take a nap in the corner for 25 minutes because he can, you know, and then cheat or do something underhanded when he needs. I think KO would be a great pick, but again, it's. This is all so weird when you think about the fact that the Royal Rumble is all about Roman Reigns. Like, if this was just another Rumble where whoever wins, you know, gets the championship match at WrestleMania, all of these people we're throwing out, I think, would have been kind of legitimate contenders. But at this point, it's pretty much isolated to the people that have had a feud with Roman Reigns. If you haven't directly been involved with them, there's zero chance of you winning this belt or a belt, which means it's Bray Wyatt, who had a storyline over the summer. It's Triple H, who's engaged with them now. It's Brock Lesnar, who has the rematch from WrestleMania. And that is it. There's Sheamus, but everyone knows Sheamus is not winning because he is garbage. So that's it. Like, and that's the really bummer part of this build is that you've written yourself to the point where the only people that could possibly win are people that have a existing relationship with the guy that they're all there for.
Yeah. Well, we will find out on Sunday on the Royal Rumble on the WWE Network.
I'm excited. It doesn't matter how bad the Royal Rumble is. It's my favorite event of the year.
Yeah, I love it.
And the last two have been truly abysmal. But there's always something about that event that draws me to it. I guess I just love a good battle royal. And this is the best battle royal that's ever been invented. So it's always fun to see how WrestleMania kicks off. And again, WrestleMania 31, when you looked at it a month before the event, was like hot chicken shit on pavement. And it turned out to be one of the best WrestleManias they've ever put on. So we can't discount the fact that we don't know who Brock will face, and we don't know who Undertaker will face, and what are they going to do without John Cena? What about Seth Rollins? And there's no Cesaro. You know, last year they took a card that was grizzling shits and turned it into an excellent event.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be good. We will find out all on Sunday at the pay-per-view. I will be live tweeting. I hope y'all will be live tweeting. You can follow Mike Pertil at StillRealToMe7 on Twitter. And you can follow Tom Nix at TheTomNix on Twitter. Hopefully we'll be all live tweeting. And you can find us, this podcast, on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. But I want to thank Tom and Mike for talking about Royal Rumble and world-class championship wrestling and WrestleMania tonight.
All right. Enjoy the show, gentlemen.
Our pleasure. We'll see you on Sunday.
Until next time, we're the Multimedia Men.